church Bible, it's on page 970. That's Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 16. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Thanks be to God.
That was a beautiful time of worship, wasn't it? To come into the presence of God and to allow him to just touch us and minister to us. I think it's great the way these services are organised, but you know, I've got two goes at the same sermon, and obviously you brought the most expensive tickets because you're in for the best sitting. So all the mistakes I made in the first one, so I'm going to get it right for this second one, so we'll all be okay. First thing to say is Pastor David, he loves you all very much. He does. And he's worked very hard and he's produced some lovely notes for you on prayer and fasting. Totally ignore those, all right? Just for today, of course. I'm not following those notes because my emphasis today is not as a teacher, but is as someone who wants to encourage you. I want to encourage you not just to understand, but I want to encourage you to do the stuff that's in the book. I want you to be doers of the word and be encouraged. Be encouraged. There are so many, you know, books written on prayer that actually it can leave us with a sense of, oh, you know, I must try harder and I'm not very good at this sort of stuff. It reminds me somewhat, you know, of the days when we were at school, and of course academically we're coming to the end of a school year when you'd get the dreaded report, you know, and you'd have to take it home and show your parents. And there'd always be that line written in there, could do better, must try harder. I wonder what our report would be at the end of a church year. I wonder what God would say about us. Do we fear he would say, particularly if we want to look at prayer and fasting, our topic today, would he say could do better? You see, he wouldn't. He would say, I love you. He would say, I want the best for you. He would say, you are a work in progress. We're not there yet. Hallelujah. We're a work in progress. We can never be condemned. That's the enemy's job. We're a work in progress. We are being changed little bit by little bit, one degree by degree, to reflect the glory of Christ. We are becoming Christ-like. We are not there yet. Don't be condemned. Whatever subject it is, be encouraged. Be encouraged to step up to the plate and be all that you can be for God. Be that person he wants you to be. Keep growing in grace. Your report, what does it say? Could do better? No. Beloved, I love you. I care for you. And I will take you forward. He will say, he who has begun a good work, he will bring it to fruition for every one of us who trusts him and follows him and loves him. We will know his love. Never be condemned. We grow in grace. Hallelujah. So, the two words that I want to bring to you today, David's told me I cannot have a three-point sermon, is that correct? Yeah, right. So I'd really like to say it's two words, and they're the F word, so sorry about that. Somebody has to say it in church, you know what I mean. It's form and function, but really it's three. It's point one with two bits and then point nine. It's form, and one form of prayer is fasting. It's another F. And it's the function. And actually, it's the function that's the most important thing that I want to get to. Let's say then a little about forms, if you like, of prayer and fasting. We know there are many forms, many different ways that we can pray. And of course, we understand there's the corporate prayer life and the individual prayer life. I've been incredibly blessed in my life that I've had opportunity to go to Yonggi Cho's church in Korea, and I've spent sort of 6 weeks blocks out there with some of their pastors and stuff. And it's an amazing thing to go to, like, Prayer Mountain. I've been to a prayer meeting at some little venue they managed to fill. What was it? Oh, yeah, I remember. Seoul Olympic Stadium. Full up with people praying. And it wasn't like, oh, it's your turn next. You know, you have a go. No, everybody prays all together. It's like a madhouse. It's great. Because actually, I'm not interested in what you're praying. God is. We're praying to God. And like calling for God's blessing and God's anointing. So there are many different ways. I've had the privilege of going to Ghana and attending prayer camps there, praying through the night. Wonderful things. And they're doing like good stuff in the States in different places. Different forms, different ways. Whether that's like Toronto, a style of praying and praying for people. Whether that's at Mike Bickle's church in Kansas. Just different ways of doing things with the prophetic, etc., etc. However, there are these different expressions. We can sing, we can stand, we can shout, we can pray in tongues, we can sit down, we can keep moving. I think the more I've travelled, the more I've experienced, and the more I've read, I think a lot of prayer, or the form of prayer, is actually quite cultural. What I do know is it's nothing to do with education. It does have a little to do with gifting. But actually, I tend to think now that our prayer styles is more to do with personality than spirituality. If you're an extrovert, of which I may be one, then, you know, shut up. I don't mind people talking to me. I do reply. You know, so I actually quite like to walk when I'm praying, and I like just to pray in tongues, and, you know, that's it. Where other people like to sit quietly and be reflective, that's okay. Introvert is going to be more reflective and quiet. God has made us, and God loves a kaleidoscope of variation that he's made in his people. There are many, many different forms of prayer, but one of them is definitely prayer and fasting. And you see, fasting is not this thing where you go, oh, here we go, this is going to be the tricky bit. Fasting is not something that we go, oh, well, now I've been a Christian so many years and I've sort of qualified, I can fast. No, Jesus didn't say if, it's just when. It was an assumed by the Lord that we would be people who would pray and fast. You know, some people say to me, oh, I find prayer so difficult. You know what? Fish don't find it difficult to swim. And why people find things difficult is because they get locked into the form instead of the function. They get so concentrated on, this is the way I should pray. Or they look at someone else praying and try and copy that model. You know, I said about, you know, going around the world and seeing different things. The church went through this amazing phase where they wanted you to go to places to sort of almost steal things. Go, oh, we'll nick that and bring it back to England. Boof, and drop it down. And all the church really was looking for was simply a different form. That is not the answer. It's the function we need to focus on. Okay, so having said then that fasting is one of the forms of prayer, what is fasting? I give you this definition. Fasting is the act of willingly abstaining from something that is important to you in order to direct your focus on God. It is not focusing on what we're giving up, but it's making room for God. It's a detox for your soul, to increase your desire, your devotion, your sensitivity to his voice. Nutritionists will tell us You know, that people fast because it cleans up the body. It's a detox for the body. Christian prayer and fasting is a detox for the soul. Interesting thing, church life. Remember I've said, Jesus saying, not if, but when you pray. The early church certainly did that. They prayed and they would fast. When Paul and Barnabas were sent off to Cyprus, they had a church meeting. I would love that sort of church meeting. I'm not sure if they got round... I need to try on that. I'm not sure if they got round to a vote. Shocking business. They spent all the time in prayer and fasted. Because the church meeting was not to decide the will of the people, but to discern the mind of God and to know his direction, his way. And there came a unity amongst the people. Oh, I want to go to a church meeting like that. I think, sadly, today, some churches are more like a luncheon club that says grace rather than Christians who pray and fast. We need to fast. We need that detoxing of our souls. You know, there's that battle that goes on within us. You know, as Paul demonstrated, oh, I do the things I don't want to do, and wretched man I am, I try and do things and I can't do them. And he knows this battle that goes on. This thing, if you like, for me, a Trinity type issue inside body, soul and spirit, without getting into that too much. But it's this thing of, you know, who controls us? Who's in control of us? That's what one word came about, control. Who controls us? There's this story, it's an illustration of this guy who tells his friend, oh, I've become a Christian. And his friend says, wow, that must be wonderful. And the guy says, actually, it's terrible. It's terrible. It's like there are two great big dogs and they're fighting within me. They're at each other's throats, a black dog and a white dog, and they're like fighting to the death. So the guy goes, wow, which one wins? And he says, the one I feed the most. And we have that battle within us. We're a work in progress. We are saved, but we're being saved. The mind is constantly being renewed. And sometimes we have to detox and say, actually, myself is not in control. You see, the purpose of fasting is actually to humble the soul. It's a humbling. So when we read in the Old Testament the word humbled, it's about fasting. Prayer and fasting is about humbling ourselves before God. David, who we've already mentioned, King David, you know, he got himself in a few scrapes. And he was somebody who said, I wept, I prayed, I humbled myself with fasting. This is where fasting comes in. It humbles ourselves and puts us in the right place when we come to God. It's a subjection, if you like, of the body to the spirit. It's saying to the body, you're not the master. You know, my wife will tell you that, you know, when I want food, I want food. Feed me, feed. You know, like a child, the belly cries out as though the belly's in charge. Oh, I can't do that. I've got to have something to eat. Or I've got to eat at 7 o'clock. No, you haven't. And sometimes we need to say to self, pack it in. We need to make sure we're feeding, if you like the picture, the white dog. And fasting puts self in its place. You see, fasting is not actually showing anything to God. It's not proving to God that we're serious. It's not making God have to listen to our prayers. Fasting is being serious with ourself, of taking ourself in that sense out of control and saying, God, I want your way, being controlled by the Holy Spirit. It is not the ace card that we play with God, but it's part of prayer that allows us to explore the riches of God's grace. Excuse me, got my product placement here, so everyone has to go out and buy one. I'm on commission. as seen at Lidl. Is that all right? Yeah, thanks very much. Leave that there. Okay. Nehemiah, when he heard about the state of the nation, when he saw Jerusalem, it says he sat down and wept. Sat down and wept. He mourned and he fasted and he prayed. The chronicler says something very similar. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. A promise, a conditional promise of God. If he will. Nehemiah wept over the state of the nation. The chronicler wept over the state of the nation. It's all about our motives, repentance and humbling. It's the heart that matters, not the outward expression. Have you wept over the sins that you've committed? Have you wept for this nation? God is going to bring us to a place of repentance. We cannot possibly pray for the nation and say, God, heal our nation, forgive the sins of this nation, until as a church we come to God and say, God, forgive us. If we say we are without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We walk in the light that's been revealed to us. And as Christians, we walk in more and more light. That's why just because somebody has one practice, you don't impose it on somebody else and condemn them. God will show us what's right and wrong in our lives. We walk in the light revealed to us. But the call is coming, I believe, to this repentance for the church. And it's a key thing in praying for the nation. Are we humbled before God? See, humbling simply means to take away all other means of support. When you humble a house, you knock down all the strong pillars. When we come into God, we need to be humbled. It's not our experience, it's not our education, it's not our thought processing. It's not we trust in this or trust in that. It's in God alone. It's Him alone. He's the only one. He's the only way. We do live in interesting days. You know, and people say, well, what's happening? What is God doing? God is saying to the church, like I say, this is a prophetic word. Thus says the Lord, get your finger out, church. That is what God is saying to the church through all of the chaos that's going on around. Because he's showing us once again, actually, man's systems, they're futile. They're not the answer. The change, you know, the general election, whatever. You know, a different colour comes in, you know, red lot or blue lot, it doesn't matter. It's all just window dressing. What will change this nation is not social reform. It's not a better health service. They're all different expressions. What we need is Jesus. We need to turn back to Him. The problems with our country is not, oh, look at all the divisions in the country. There's only one division that really matters, and that's us being separated from God. And what separates us from God? Sin. And until we get that right, until we come back to Him, it's as though someone says, oh, you know, I've got this sort of plaster sticking on my heart. But inside, actually, you know, your heart's failing. And someone says, oh, look, that plaster's a bit dirty. Rip it off and stick another one on. No, no, no. What you need is heart surgery. Not some old plaster that you take off and stick a different one on in a few weeks' time. You need heart surgery. And that's what God is saying to the church. He's saying to the church, stand up and be the people that I've created you to be. He's saying, be the people like Nehemiah. He's saying, be like the chronicle. Look at your nation. Feel my heart. Be humbled, come before me, and I will heal your land. But the church has got that role to play where we come to Him and say, God, we can't possibly stand and like say, oh, look at the state of the nation, look at the morality of this and that. We have to come as individuals and say, God, I'm sorry. I repent. Like Nehemiah, like King David. Why are we any different from them? We are not. And we've got the same promises. And just as God was faithful with them, he will be faithful with us. Historians tell us that actually Wesley, you think of this country and like the state it got into, Wesley's revival probably stopped this country from having a revolution like France because of the movement of God. God has done it biblically. God has done it in our history. And God will do it again. But a key is this idea of the church coming before him, being repentant, humbling ourselves. Oh God, there is no other name. There's no, you know, I won't mention a few, but there's no other names, you know, no politicians, no whatever. There is nothing else. It's only Jesus. Only he who's paid the price for our sins that we can be restored with God. Only when we get that right, the inside, the heartfelt bit, we are not called to be those who just get caught up in the externals. You see, I can actually teach a person to say prayers. I'm a great teacher. And this one is a mini 3-point sermon. You want me to teach you how to say prayers in church? Simple. Stand up, speak up, and shut up. Right? Those three. Speed, accuracy, and brevity. That's what you've got to do. But that's just the form. I can teach you to say prayers, but I cannot teach you to pray. And sometimes the different forms in prayer that we employ actually stop others from praying. So when people say, oh, I can't pray, it's the form they don't like. They can't cope with a form, the style of the prayer. But you can pray, all right. You can pray. And if we get locked into the form, our focus is not on God. It's worrying about what somebody else thinks of us. Or should I be sat down or stood up? I've got to be honest, that's quite a good seat. Because you can't see what anybody's doing. So, you know, please yourself, I'm happy. You know, and actually, although we're a corporate gathering, we should all be in that space. We're just before God. And it's just that we're doing all that together. And it's a great place to be. It's a great place to be. Spurgeon said this, true prayer is the trading of the heart with God, and the heart never comes into spiritual commerce with the ports of heaven until the Holy Spirit puts wind into the sails and speeds the ship into heaven. It's not the externals. It's inside. I have a question for you. What do you think would upset a congregation more on a Sunday? Missing a few prayers or missing coffee? What would it be? See, I had this crazy thought. I wonder what would happen. I wonder if some of this stuff is true. I wonder what would happen if we said, I'll do it, you said, we'll have a little fast, but we won't go crazy. We'll have maybe 15 minutes. And we'll make it between the two services. We'll give up having coffee. On the agenda, church meeting. Don't invite him again. We give up having coffee and we pray. And we just, nobody's going to lead it. Nobody's going to lead it. We just all be in the same sort of space. And we're just praying for God's anointing to fall here in this place. It's got to start somewhere. Why not here? Got to start somewhere in here. Why don't we just pray for 15 minutes? We could all go up on the balcony's a great place. Just go up on the balcony and then we all just start praying. No one leads it. It'd be like a chicken house. Some people would hate it. And we're all just praying to God. And we wouldn't be able to hear each other's prayers. You know, you fell off. You haven't got to worry about it being nice, you know, and having nice endings to your prayer. We're just talking to God. Because at the end of the day, I don't really want to hear your prayers. I'm sorry about that. I'm not really worried what you're praying. God is. We're pouring out our hearts to God when we're going, God, heal the nation. God, I repent of my sins. God, Set me on fire for you. God, do it here in this nation. We plead for our country. Come again in power. What would happen, I wonder, if we did that? That's a corporate fast. See, sometimes when Erica comes up the front for the start of the second meeting, she'll have to go, simmer down, simmer down. You know, you're all chatting away and making a hubbub. Imagine if we weren't talking to each other, still making that hubbub, that noise, but we're all talking to God. Churches in Korea have a bell up the front, like a ding. And the only way that the pastor gets control of that church is by dinging that bell, because they're all just praying. He couldn't stand up and go, excuse me, I want to start this. They're just praying, and he has to hit the bell. Ding, ding, ding. Now, there's a lot of cultural stuff in that. I understand that. But you get the heart of it, don't you? We're here to do business with God. E.M. Bounds said this: the church is looking for better methods. God is looking for better men. We know in the church we are often looking for a different method, i.e. a different form. You know, the church has gone through that period where, you know, you go around the world and you try and steal things and bring them home. You go, oh, we'll do this in our church, we'll do that in our church. Just taking the method, just taking the form. It's the heart that's the most important. The church is looking for better methods. God is looking for better men. Better methods is simply the form. Better men, that's to do with a function. So what is the function then of this prayer and fasting? I've already said it's to do with humbling ourselves. Is prayer ending up on the deck of the Starship Enterprise? After all, we're meant to be seated in heavenly places. Is it getting to that place where we feel we can order events around the world? Maybe it's part of that. Is it your cat's been out for the night and he comes in and he jumps up on your lap and he curls up and he starts to purr as he gets a stroke? Is that prayer? I think that's part of it as well. Is it that we get revelation in God's presence and understand things? Or is it we enter into the cloud of unknowing, where all we know is we are consumed by the Shekinah presence, glory of God? We are just enveloped in God's love and ministered to. That's part of prayer. Is it like Johnny Wilkinson, or wherever the number 10 is for England, you know, taking a rugby conversion kick, and they stick the ball down and they look at the ball and they look at the post, look at the ball, look at the posts, and then they visualise the ball, they're going to do something and it's going to go over there, and whoosh, over it goes. Is that prayer? We visualise something and we want to see it come to fruition. See, maybe it's all of those things, but above all, it is exploring the riches, the depths of God's grace, as we come to him, as we ask for ourselves, as we ask for the nation. Anyone here got that lovely picture, Leonardo da Vinci's Last Supper? Anyone got one of those at home? Now, somebody did in the first service, and I had to apologise to him. That is a rubbish picture. It's rubbish. Make that as a statement. I do understand my idea of painting is just like, you know, a second coat on the shed, but it's a rubbish picture. And I'll tell you why it's rubbish, is because it gives the wrong form, and if you have the wrong form, you can have or you can have the wrong function, or simply miss the function. Now, I'm talking about prayer, but I'm going to use the illustration from communion, okay? If this mic goes off, shove one of those under my nose. Right. This is nice. It's the best bit of the sermon for me. I like this bit, laying down. Where was I? I know. So think of that picture. Old Leo's picture. Rubbish. First of all, Jesus was not in the middle and had six on either side. It was not like a team photograph. Then, secondly, the table was not a Western style, you know, rectangle, 2 foot six off the ground. It was probably a horseshoe shape, which would have been about 6 inches off the ground. So instead of thinking Western style, think probably more like Oriental style for our images. And then, of course, they weren't sitting on seats. They were laying down, actually, just like this. They would have been laying on their left-hand side, and they would have like been feeding with their right hand. And we can work out from scriptures the position of some of the disciples. And John was next to Jesus. And it says in the gospel account that the disciple whom Jesus loved rested his head on the breast of Jesus. That is communing with God. That is prayer. So I asked the question this morning, are you a disciple? You're beloved. That's why I started the way I did, about a report. Actually, if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, you're beloved. Now's the challenge. Have you ever laid your head on the heart of Jesus? Have you heard God's heart for you? That's communion. That's communing with God. That is prayer. That's being humble and going into the presence of God. As people, we always love to formalize things. Jesus loves to personalize things. We want formulas. Jesus wants a relationship that is intimate, that is personal, that is vibrant, that changes our hearts, that sets us on fire, that lets us know that we are loved, that we are precious children of His. Wow, that's our God. That is our God. Shall we just pray and fast simply to seek a blessing? Spurgeon says this. He was a phenomenal wordsmith. The very act of prayer is a blessing. To pray is, as it were, to bathe in a cool, swirling stream and so escape from the heat of earth's summer sun. To pray is to mount up on eagle's wings above the clouds and get into the clear heaven where God dwells. To pray is to enter the treasure house of God and to gather riches out of an inexhaustible storehouse. To pray is to grasp heaven in one's arms, to embrace the deity with one's soul, and to feel one's body made a temple of the Holy Spirit. Apart from the answer, prayer in itself is a blessing. To pray, my friends, is to cast off your burdens. It is to tear away your rags. It is to shake off your diseases. It is to be filled with spiritual vigor. It is to reach the highest point of Christian health. Spurgeon got it. May God grant us that we will be in this holy art of prayer. The chronicler's words then to us. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves, brackets, that means fasting, and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. You see, God's people were returning from exile. They were subject to all sorts of political, social, religious influences. There were loads of divisions in their society. Is it any different today with the divisions in our society? No, as a nation, we need to turn back to God. Not interested in a vote, either way. Not interested. It's a plaster. God is showing the church that really the systems of the world, they ain't got it. They don't, you know, cut the mustard. Jesus is the one who has the words to eternal life. Our days are no different. We need to be those who understand the forms of prayer, sure, but understand the function. Understand the function of fasting. That we will come before Him. That we will humble ourselves. We will seek His face. And then we can stand in the gap and we can cry out, God, heal our nation. Heal our nation. We're going to respond in due course. And there is a, in my opinion, a fabulous chorus that we are going to sing. But it's a prayer. It's heal our nation. And it should be a prayer. It should come from the heart. You know what? It should reduce us to tears as well. We want to come into His presence. God, we long to see You move in power. We humble ourselves. We come before Him. Let's pray, first of all. Let's pray. Lord, we long to see You move in this nation. But Lord, we first need to come before You. We need to have that spotlight upon our own hearts, upon our own lives. We want to be those who will be first in the queue to go, God, I want to be right with You. I don't want to get caught up in the trappings of all the externals, of all the forms. I want to repent of my sins. I want to repent of my lukewarmness. I want to be on fire for You. God, I'm desperate to see Your glory in this nation. Not just as it would make a good meeting. It would just, you know, be decoration. No, God, we ask You to perform heart surgery, but I dare not ask You to start with a nation until You start with us, until You start with me. God, I need a touch from You, a fresh touch, which shouldn't be exception, which should be normal. I want to lay my head on Your heart. I want to hear Your heart beat for me. I want to be undone in Your presence. I want You to build me up, but I want You to take me apart. I want You to put me together the way that You've designed. I want You to be in control. Lord, we long to see You move in power across our nation. If we just play a gentle song before we come in to hit it, that song. I'm a great one in believing that we respond to God's word, and I know we respond in different ways. But I am going to ask people, if you've never repented of your sins, if you don't know Jesus, I'm actually going to ask you to come forward to say, God, I want to be right with You. I don't want to be part of the problem. I want to be part of the solution. If you know, you know, the frailty of world systems, if you've been hurt by them, if you go, God, I know I've lived a life that doesn't honour You, and now I want to turn to You. I want You in my heart. I want You in my life. Yeah, I want to repent. I want to say sorry. If you're sitting there and you've been away from God, or you know you've been lukewarm, and you know You know, you haven't heard me today. You know God's been saying things in your heart. Maybe God's confirmed a word to one or two people, I think. And if you're going, actually, yeah, I want to get really right with God because I want to take on board and be that intercessor and pray, I'm going to invite you. I'm not going to counsel you. I'm not worried if anybody else prays for you. I'm just going to pray over you generally. So as we're playing this, please just come forward. Come forward now. Don't be shy. It's about responding to God.